Hallelujah. 100 different nationalities, I don't know how many different languages, but that's a word we all understand. Hallelujah. Anywhere you go, doesn't matter whether it's in London or Africa or China or Mexico, we all understand that great word of praise. Hallelujah. Would you just say it one time? Hallelujah. That sounded great. Do it again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, choir. What an incredible day this has been. A wonderful word from the Lord this morning. And I've not had a chance to talk with Pastor Carter before the message and had little time to talk with him afterward. But it's the very same passage and very same scripture that the Lord has been dealing with me about. And as many of, as you know, I got a chance to travel around the world several times. And I have seen lots of churches. But I have never seen a church in my life where I believe God is bringing people together any more than right here at Times Square Church. Amen. And I just pray that we will continue to hear our pastor as he shares with us how important it is for us to join together with those of precious like faith. I want to call your attention to two passages of Scripture this afternoon, and by now you know that I love to tie Scriptures together. I love to see the parallel that goes through the Bible. So I'm going to read Psalm 137, and then I'm going to read one verse and make reference from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And the title of my message, and you'll see it more clearly as I get into this passage of Scripture, the title of my message this afternoon is, You've Got Mail. The beautiful part about the Bible is that it tells a grand narrative. We have a tendency to sort of look at snippets, just take photographs. But you have to get a panoramic view of the whole Bible if you understand God's design for the human family. The Bible, as we have it, consists of 66 books by 40 different individuals from every imaginable circumstance in life. It spans over approximately 1,500 or maybe even more years all the way through the Bible, spanning more than 60 generations. But the beautiful part about it is that it all fits together. And the reason it fits together is because man is not the actual author of the Scripture. God is the author. It's his message to us. Sometimes spoken from palaces, sometimes spoken from slavery, sometimes spoken from prison, but always speaking to the hearts of God's people. I want to read, first of all, the 9 verses in Psalm 137. This is a familiar psalm to most of us. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it. In a more modern translation, that would say, tear it down, tear it down. Even to the foundations thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall be, shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happily shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against a stone. And then I want to just turn to the book of Jeremiah. And I'm going to read one verse, but I'm going to comment and give you a paraphrase of that entire chapter. And I'd like to read that first verse from Jeremiah from one of the transliterations, not a translation, but a transliteration of the Bible. It's the Message by Eugene Peterson. But I think he hits the nail right on the head on this verse of Scripture. Hear what he said. Jeremiah 29 and verse 1. This is the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to what was left of the elders among the exiles, to the priests and prophets of all of the exiles, even whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken to Babylon from Jerusalem. Now, let me just give you a bit of history, not going very deep into this. I could spend a great deal of time because it is one of my favorite passages of Scripture from all of the Bible to connect these two passages together. We know, according to Scripture, that the children of Israel have been taken into Babylonian captivity. But it was not like this caught them by surprise, because the prophets of Israel had been telling them, unless they purified their worship and unless they returned to God from their backslidden condition, that God was going to deliver them up to their enemies. And so it happened, just like the prophets had said. In fact, Jeremiah literally, I think, became a very ill man because they would not hear his message as he warned them, if you don't turn back to God, he is going to take you away into captivity. Now, fast forward for several years, and you find the children of Israel sitting by a canal in Babylon. And they are literally being mocked by their captors. They are being made fun of in a way. Sing us one of your songs now. But they respond, how can we sing the Lord's song on foreign soil? Let me just give you a little bit of a synopsis of Jeremiah 29 before I turn back to Psalm 137. In verses 10 through 14 of Jeremiah 29, through the prophet Jeremiah, God makes some incredible promises to the children of Israel. He said, first of all, and this is important to realize, God said to them, I am working on my on-time schedule. Don't rush me. And the reason he said that was because there were false prophets going through the land saying, oh, don't worry, this is only going to be a short time. One of those prophets was named Hananiah. And he literally said, God has sent me. I have come from an angel to tell you that you're only going to be here for a short time. God has sent me. And before you get to the end of chapter 28, God is saying, I didn't send you, but I am going to send you off this planet. Because the Bible said he died. Because he lied to the people. So God said to them, don't get in any big hurry. You're going to be here for a while. In fact, he said, you're going to be here for 70 years. 70 years. Those guys that were 20 years of age were looking at the calendar and saying 50. Wow, look, 70 years, I won't even be here. 70 years. But here's what God said to them. I want you to settle down. I want you to build houses. I want you to plant crops. I want you to have children. And this must be the toughest thing God said to them. I want you to pray for your enemy. Come on, God, they've got us in captivity. They're holding us in bondage, and you want us to pray for them? It almost seems to me like God is saying, you needed them, and now they need you. Don't give up. Pray for your enemy. And I think if I were to lift something from that passage for us today, God is saying to us, when hard times come, God's children need to increase, not decrease. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our enemies. This is what God said. This is the beginning. But then he goes on to say, I will show up as I have promised, because I have plans for you. I will not abandon you. I will give you hope and not a future. I will give you hope for your future, because I have good things in mind for you. When you call on me, he said, I will listen. When you are serious about finding me, I will be there. I will not disappoint you. I will turn things around. But you have got to wait on me. So there are two passages of Scripture. One from the Psalms of people sitting by a canal in Babylonian captivity mourning. And there is a second part of the Scripture from the prophetic letter of Jeremiah, and it is a letter of hope and encouragement from the prophet of the prophet Jeremiah giving hope to a grieving people. So when you read the Scripture, you see people sitting by a canal mourning because of their condition. And yet you've got a prophet back in Jerusalem who is writing them that God has not forsaken you. You don't need to mourn. You need to rejoice, plant your crops, have children, settle down. Every time I read that scripture, the thought, and that's the title of my message, comes to my mind. People say, why are they mourning? Well, of course they're mourning because they are in captivity. But I would say they're mourning because they haven't read their mail. This is a letter from Jeremiah, the prophet of God. And he's saying to them, you don't have to worry. God has things in control. Now, I don't want by any stretch of the imagination to play down their circumstances, because they've been taken from their homes. They have been mocked by their captors. They've been stripped of their identity. They are exposed to cruelty, and they've been robbed of their culture. But God is saying, don't blame it on the Babylonians. I did it to you. You did it to us, God? Yes. Why? Because I love you so much. God, could you just love somebody else for a while? 70 years of captivity to show your love? God said, yes. Because I've tried to get your attention, but you wouldn't listen. But now, I want you to see what's going on in their hearts. They are sitting by a canal, by the rivers of Babylon. And they have lost their song. The Jews were known for their joyous music. In fact, as travelers would come near Jerusalem, they would stop for a while to hear the lingering and inspiring voices of the musicians, the singers from miles away as they approached the holy city. Their reputation was such that when they arrived in Babylon, the Babylonians said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." And their response was, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" I hope we don't adopt that, because folks, if I had time, I would tell you, we are living in a strange land. And if we let the strangeness of our land take away our music, we will lose our joy. The human heart was made to sing. And if you stop singing the songs of God, you'll start singing the songs of Babylon. And I want to tell you what something. I felt it today as I went back to the room to pray over again this message. I just feel like I wanted to say to somebody here this afternoon, whatever circumstances you may be in, whatever dilemma you may be in, don't let the devil steal your song. Don't let him steal your song. The devil despises to see God's people walking in the joy of the Lord. He does everything he can to make life miserable for us. And nothing irritates him more than for us to throw back our heads and sing right in the middle of a trial. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Even when the enemy comes in like a flood, close your eyes and think about what God's done for you already. And think about what God is going to do for you in the future. And the next thing you'll know, you'll send the devil scouring back to hell where he belongs. Don't let him steal your song. Hallelujah. But you say, "Pastor Lamar, you don't know the troubles that I'm going through." No, I don't. But I know this. I love to hike in the woods. We live near the foot of the mountains, and I do a lot of hiking. And I love to just sit by a babbling brook. And sometime recently, I was sitting there and thinking, as I heard the noise the brook was making, if it weren't for the rocks in that water, there would be no music coming out of that brook. Sometimes it's the tough places in our lives that give us the real meaning of amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Not only did they let the devil steal their song, but they succumbed to bitterness. Do you hear what they said in that 7, 8, and 9 verses? I even sort of stumbled over it as I read it because it sounds so harsh. "Remember, O Lord, that the Edomites, what they did when Jerusalem fell, they said, 'Tear it down, tear it down, tear it down to the foundations.' And now they said, 'O daughters of Babylon, you're doomed to destruction. Happy is he who repays you for what you have done to us. He who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. That's horrible. I mean, look how bitter they became because they lost their song. Once again, I'm going to tell you, if you let the devil steal your song, you'll start singing the devil's song before you know it. And they become so bitter. It's strange to me when I read this passage of Scripture, they believe the prophecy that says Babylon is going to be destroyed, but they didn't believe the prophecy when Jeremiah said, if you don't straighten up your worship, you're going into Babylonian captivity. Maybe we ought to start listening, not just to the destructive things God has said about our enemies, but maybe we ought to start listening to what God is saying to us about getting our act together. They've lost their song. And the Bible said they now have gained bitterness. Guard. Let me just tell you this. I feel so impressed to say this. Every time I speak here, I know that there are persons in the congregation who have been wronged. You have been mistreated. Some have even been abused in your life. But the worst thing you can do is to let the devil fill your heart with bitterness. You don't ever need to approve. You don't give any approval for any evil that anybody has done. You don't rejoice in the evil and you don't condone it. But you don't let their evil doing take away the song God has placed in your life. Keep singing. Even in the midst of trial, Deuteronomy 28 and 47 says, because you've not served God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, therefore you shall serve your enemies. So listen to what's happened here. They've lost their song, and now they've grown bitter, and now they're sitting by a canal in Babylon, moaning and groaning, longing for the good old days, the way it used to be way back then. I remember several years ago, I was just a young evangelist, and I was a younger evangelist. And I was preaching a revival. And we had seen an incredible move of God in that revival, one like I had not seen in years, where people were being healed and great miracles were happening. And one elderly gentleman came up to me and he said, Brother Lamar, you're doing a good job preaching this revival. I said, thank you. He said, yes, but I just want you to know we'll never have revivals like we did back in the good old days. So I went to my grandfather, who was a retired preacher, and I said to my grandfather, when you were a young man going to church, what were people talking about after good revival services? He said, well, they used to stand around the old pot-bellied stove and talk about the good old days, the way it used to be way back then. So I went to somebody who was my grandfather's senior, and I said to him, what were they talking about after revival services? Scratched his head. He said, come to think of it, they talked about the good old days, the way it used to be way back then. So I finally ended up going back to the New Testament and listening to the prayers of the apostles. And I'm hearing them talk about the way it was back in the days of Elijah. We sang about that. These are the days of Elijah. And then I finally ended up on the top of Mount Carmel. And I thought I'd found the good old days. Because the false prophets of Baal were being slain. But then I heard the prophet Elijah get down on his knees to pray. In the name of the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Still looking back. So I finally ended up in Genesis. When God used to come down in the coolness of the day and walk and talk with Adam and Eve. So when people say to me, we can't have revivals today like we did back in the good old days, I say, what do you know about the Garden of Eden? I want to tell you, we are serving not the God of the good old days. We are serving the God of the present time and the present days. And He is as much alive now as He has ever been. And He has as much power and authority as He has ever had. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. So now I'm going to tell you, if you lose your song and if you feel yourself getting bitter and all of a sudden you want to go back and live in some past experience, I got a better idea. Get a new, fresh vision of God. You say, well, yeah, that's good for you to say, but you're not in Babylonian captivity. You're not down by the rivers with your harps hanging on the willows and people saying, sing us one of your songs. No, I wasn't there, but Ezekiel was. Ezekiel was there. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 1, listen to this. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar in Babylon, that the heavens were opened up and I saw visions of God. Wow. This chapter contains extraordinary visions of the divine glory which was shown to the prophet Ezekiel. Remember, he was also in Babylonian captivity, but his name means God will strengthen you. The strength of God. He saw God not as a weak, weak, failing deity, but he saw God as a divine warrior riding in his battle chariot. And he said to the people, he's not forgotten you. He still has the power. Stop asking why me. And start asking what's next. Get ready for a fresh vision from God. Hallelujah. We live in a strange land, and I could go into a great deal of detail about that. But if you focus on Babylon, you're going to lose your song. You don't need to focus on Babylon. You need to focus on a fresh vision from God. Get ready. God will reveal Himself afresh and anew. I tell you, I sense the presence of God in such a way that I just want to tell you, revival is on its way to New York City. Revival is on its way to Times Square Church. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Wow. I tell you, if somebody doesn't just lift your hands and shout right now, I'm going to have to do it. And I need to save my voice. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might say, but Pastor Lamar, you don't know how beaten down I am. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the difficulties. Listen, I know that these children of Israel sitting by the rivers of Babylon were beaten down. I know that. And so was Ezekiel. I mean, he was also there. But let me read you what he said in Ezekiel chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand up upon thy feet, and I will speak to thee. And the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me, and set me up on my feet. And I heard the voice of him who spoke to me. You know the picture I get here? Now you got to keep in mind, he's in the same captivity. He's in the same ridicule. He's been deprived of everything. And he literally, what I get from this is say, I was so weak that I couldn't even stand up. But then he said, the Spirit entered me and stood me up upon my feet. A little bit later on, fantastic message Pastor Carter preached a few Sundays ago from 38th chapter of Ezekiel about the dry bones. You see, Ezekiel's had experience with that. He says, my bones are dead. I don't have any life in me. Stand up. I can't stand up. Okay, then I'll fill you with my Spirit. And the first thing I know, he said, I'm standing on my feet. The devil can knock you down. Your circumstances can knock you down, but if you live in daily harmony with God, he'll keep standing you back up. Praise God. You won't stay down. You can't stay down. Not with the Spirit of God living within you. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the day is coming when God is going to intervene. He's not going to let things continue in this world like they are. He's going to show up, and the evil people are going to get their just reward. But that's not my business right now. My business is to be faithful till he comes. My business is to love my enemy, love my neighbor, show the grace of God in everything that I do, and seek for a fresh vision from God. Praise God forevermore. Wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, I got news for you. You got mail. It's not a dead letter box either. It's alive. And there's not a circumstance you face that God hasn't already addressed in his word. The first thing you have to do, though, is to identify the lies of Satan. And I'll talk about this later on in another message. But you've got to identify the true prophets of God. Ezekiel 2 and 5. Literally, God is saying, whether they hear you or not. Because Ezekiel was concerned they wouldn't hear him. But he said, whether they hear you or not, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Praise God. That's what I long for. Again, is for this city to know that there is yet a prophet in the city. There are still people behind the pulpits of New York City and other places declaring the work of God. The first thing you've got to do is to identify the lies of Satan. The Bible said in John 8 and 44, there is no truth in him. He is a liar, and he is the father of it. So, when the devil tells you God has left you, read your mail. Hebrews 13 and 5, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When the devil says to you, no good will ever come of this, read your mail. Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. When the devil tells you people are out to hurt you, read your mail. Ephesians 6 and 12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of the darkness of this world. When the devil says God is punishing you for what you've done, read your mail. Hebrews 12 and 6, he said he chastens those he loves. When the devil tells you you have no strength, read your mail. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Verbally tell God you believe him and not the devil. And don't let the devil steal your song. Keep your eyes open for a fresh vision from God. Oh, but Brother Lamar, I don't like waiting. Yeah, I have a tendency sometimes to be a bit impatient. Not as impatient as the lady I heard about in a prayer service sometime ago that somebody overheard her praying. The pastor said, let's everybody pray for patience. And she said, God, give me patience and give it to me right now. Patience. God said, I will do it in my own time. Life seems like it comes in seasons, doesn't it? It seems like there are times of mourning and there are times of rejoicing. The Bible even said about Jesus in the wilderness that the tempter left him for a season. But just keep in mind, it's not going to be here always, because God's promised you, I've got your hope, your future in mind. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, I don't like waiting. It all depends on who you're waiting for. Praise God. I'm telling you, I've stopped looking for signs of his coming, and I've started listening for the sound of the trumpet. I believe Jesus is coming back to this earth again. He's not going to allow this earth to continue to disobey as it has in years gone by. There will be a day of judgment. But please, my friend, don't let the dark hours that we are facing or that we're going to face ever take you away from your faith and trust in God. Verbally tell God every day, I believe what you wrote me, and I'm going to accept it as a letter from you to me. Don't let anybody steal your song. Amen. Praise God. Wow. What a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Folks, don't ever discount this. I think I shared with you once before, but I was in a military service several years ago in Germany in a military retreat. And the speaker got up to speak, and all of a sudden, a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit, like is moving here this afternoon and was here this morning, started to move in the service. And all of a sudden, this young private had never been in a service like that in his life. All of a sudden, he just stood up, clicked his heels, and stood at attention. And he looked around and saw that nobody else was, and he sat down. And afterwards, he came up to the speaker, and he said, I need to apologize. He said, I don't know what happened to me. He said, I've never been in anything like this, but he said, I know when a 5-star general walks in. Praise God. Praise God. I feel like the King of Kings has just walked in. The Lord of Lords. Stand up. Praise God forevermore. We honor your presence, Lord. We honor your presence. We honor your presence. I want our musicians to give us a song. Listen, this is my call to you. Some of you feel like you've been waiting for a long time for an answer from God for the circumstances, the need, the condition that you're in. God sent me by here this afternoon to tell you that He still knows where you are. You don't have to hang your harp on a willow. Get it out. Let your voice be heard, because God still is in control. Amen. This is my appeal. If you have allowed circumstances, conditions that you face to take away your joy, I want you to come to this altar, and God is going to restore that joy to you as the musicians play. Praise God forevermore. Praise God. Well, I tell you, this is what I live for, is to sense the presence of God and His Holy Spirit as we felt in the service this afternoon. I don't know why you've come to this altar. I know that many of you have come with burdens that you've carried for a long, long time. And I know that there's some of you that are still standing out there in the congregation that still have those needs you need met. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You can't get far enough away for God not to find you. He knows where you are, and He knows your circumstances. And I just feel impressed of the Holy Spirit to tell you that God, in all of His Word, is written specifically to you. I mean, it's almost, if we could just take this book, and I realize that millions of people have read it, and it's the best-selling book in all of the world, but to me, it's like a personal letter from God to my own heart. He's already seen every trial I'm going to go through. He's already been there. He knows every step of the way. And He promised to never leave you and never forsake you. So I want you, as we pray together right now, I want you just to confess to the devil. Tell him to his face. He's a liar. He's a liar. God's word is true. And the promises that God has made, the promises that God has made will come to pass. Now, if you will, just around the altar, lift your hands. Those of you standing in the congregation, lift your hands toward those around the altar, and let's pray together. Father God, we know that You are God and that there is none other. And right now, God, if You will just permit me, I just want to tell the devil he is a liar and he is defeated. He's already been defeated. And I know, God, he still shows up every once in a while, but I've already read the back of the book, and I know how it's coming out. And I know we are going to win. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And God, I pray that every single individual that's come to this altar, that You would once again give us that joyful song, that we can rejoice even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our difficult circumstances. We know we are not alone. God, just in the darkness, just so we can reach out and touch You and know that You're there. You said You would never leave us and never forsake us. And now, God, I pray that You would just put Your arms around those who are hurting and those who are suffering, and give them comfort and give them hope. And we give You glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Can we sing Amazing Grace? I just want everyone to join in as we sing that song, Amazing Grace, just so the devil knows he hasn't stolen your song. Let's sing it.
you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Bless your holy name, Lord. God, it's so good. You made us to sing, Lord. You made us to worship. You made us to lift our voices in this curious thing called song. You planted it within us, oh God. We are made in the image of our God. Lord, your word even says that you rejoice over us with singing. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for letting us have that song of faith and confidence in you that cannot be taken away, can't be robbed by circumstance. It's deeper than circumstance. Lord, I thank you, God, with all my heart. Oh, Jesus, thank you for this word today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in the sanctuary. We bless you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.